is Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Presented by Edmonton Motors.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
1:48, this is Nation Radio. Jungle Jim Hunter coming up after 2 o'clock today, and later on today, Edmonton Oil Kings playing, and of course we'll have that game pregame about 6:45, game at 7 o'clock with, my friend Ken Simpson's going to be there, and he's going to be doing color commentator, and Corey Graham is going to do a play-by-play. Mostly Corey does everything. And Connor's setting up, too. Connor, if you don't set up, does anything happen down there?
Nothing.
Nothing happens. Kent just looks pretty and waits for the TV cameras, right?
Let's Corey do some work at the intermission.
Well, Corey works hard. When I listen to the games, all I hear is Corey, and then once in a while, Ken will go, yeah, and that's it. That's all I hear. Okay, we promised. I asked for input and got it, because last night, honestly, going into the game last night, I thought the Oilers, because of the Ryan Nugent-Hopkins injury, which impacts the power play, Tom Gilbert hurt. He's a stud D-man playing big minutes, and he has all year and has for years. And Jordan Eberle, one of the fine young players on this team, all injured and pretty much out for January. This is going to be a tough stretch here. But the reaction online and on the radio last night was there was a lot of venom. And to me, it came at an interesting time, because I would have thought that this was clearly understood, that this is going to be a difficult time for the Edmonton Oilers now. Nikolai Habibulin coming back to earth. Devan Dubnyk doesn't seem to be getting into the lineup enough to find his way. And the defense is basically Ladislav Smead, Sutton, and then young people. And we know what happens with young defensemen. Up front, they've got the Gagne-Hemsky-Hall line doing pretty well. Horkoff appears to be a little bit injured. Smith is Smith, but you know he's played so many minutes and played so tough so far that he's maybe off a little. Ryan Jones, same thing. And then you're dealing with young people like Anton Lander again and Pajarvi, who's trying to find his way, and Josh Green, who is a call-up. And I thought with Anaheim, the way they were playing leading into the game, doing pretty well, 12 points in their last 10, and I think two or three in a row that they'd at least been close in, that this was a game that Anaheim would not likely win, but there was a good chance they'd win the game. And in fact, Hiller played well and they won. So lots of reaction. So we're going to pass along some of it to you right now. Maverick says, the next 6 weeks until the trade deadline will be very interesting to see what will happen with this Oilers team. I still believe they will not finish 30th, but maybe 26th or 27th. Still a lottery team, though. Let's just hope any of us that are going to the games at Rexall for the rest of the season get to see more of an effort than last night. That was a rough game to witness. That's from Maverick. Common sense. I think Tambo needs to be held more responsible. This guy reminds me of J.P. Ricciardi or Grunwald or Machocha. Steve Tambolini was an assistant GM of the Canucks with no head honcho experience before Kevin Lowe plucked him. The clock is ticking. Chet says, drafting a defenseman with our first pick this year won't fix the issues on the Oiler blue line because you won't see the impact for 3 to 5 years. I agree with that, Chet. Chet also says, history tells us what we'll give up on assets or asset to find out that impact defenseman. Look to trade or package Ryan Smith, Hemsky, Habby, Magnus Pajarvi, and maybe even Gagne or picks to hopefully find that top two or three defenseman. And I think that may happen too. Remember when Kevin Lowe traded for Chris Pronger? I'm not saying it'll be that big, but something along those lines where you give up two or three younger players. I think that could definitely happen this summer. Billy likes to drink soda. Great Nick. He says, we asked for a rebuild and we got a rebuild. You can't change your mind halfway through and say, screw it, let's be good now. The Blackhawks were awful from 2002 to 07. Pens from 02 to 06. And they even got a year off during the lockout. This is year two. You can't include the years 07-09 for the Oil because they were doing exactly what Calgary is doing now. Rebuilds suck. There's no sugarcoating it, but to say Tambo isn't doing his job is ridiculous. He's traded assets like Penner, Steos, Grabeshkov, and Cogs for picks and prospects. The cupboards were bare. We're finally restocking. It's short-term pain for long-term gain, and people forget to realize that. That's Billy likes to drink soda. And that goes back to what the conversation that the Oilers told us they had with the season ticket holder, which was fix it and get it right. That's what they said. And you can make a thread that makes sense from what's happened from that day through to this day. And injuries have absolutely helped along the way to get Taylor Hall and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and Jordan Eberle, although he was a depth pick in the first round. But there's a lot of truth in that email that was sent to us from Chet likes to drink soda, which is an awesome name. We also have this from Rocket. Actual NHL players playing okay. Hemsky, Horkoff, Smith, Jones, Gagne. Actual NHL players not playing well. Boulanger, Eager, Hordachuk. Second-year players, Hall, Eberle, Pajarvi. Rookies, RNH, Lander, Petrell. Defense, we need two more actual top four experienced defensemen. And I agree totally with that, and I do believe that the Edmonton Oilers will get around to doing something along those lines. Maybe not at the deadline. I believe that Alex Hemsky, we talked to David Staples about the return on Hemsky. I think they may not trade him for a draft pick. I think they might ask for a defenseman like Voinov or somebody like that in Los Angeles. And if they have to trade Hemsky and pick for Voinov, maybe that happens. But at this point in time, another draft pick for Stu McGregor, as magnificent as he is in the draft, doesn't really help that blue line. And I believe that they'll try to trade for a bigger contract, a more experienced guy in the summertime, and that will address what is becoming a pretty difficult injury problem for Ryan Whitney. And then I also think they'll add a Voinov, another young defenseman, to try to take some of the pressure off these kids who, like Petrie and Peckham, who are not failing, but they are under the gun and maybe playing some tougher opposition than they're used to in the National Hockey League right now, and it's not going tremendously well. This from Dennis. He says, why haven't they signed Hemsky to a new contract? How do they expect to build a team when the great new young players coming in to see how management treats players like Alish, who have given their all, played through pain, undergone surgeries and rehab and countless times, and want significant dollar reward going forward? Well, I think Hemsky's gone, so I don't think that'll be an issue for much longer, but I always hope that he's going to be re-signed because he's been an outstanding winner for a long time. Want to thank our guests, Scott Taylor from Jets Nation, Ken Simpson from Edmonton Oil Kings and Team 1260, Kent Wilson from Flames Nation, David Staples from The Cult of Hockey, and of course, Thomas Drance. Poison, was that the name? From Canucks Army. Football today, hockey tonight. The Oil Kings are going to be right here on Team 1260, 6:45 pregame with Corey Graham, and the Hansons are in town. Maybe follow it up by watching Slapshot. It's always a great movie. I'm out of here. Jungle Jim Hunter is next. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next Saturday afternoon at noon.